It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. An historic day in the fight against COVID-19. Refrigerated trucks left a Pfizer warehouse in Kalamazoo, Michigan on Sunday, then fanned out all across the country. The health experts say today starts a long journey to end a pandemic that's crippled the world for over a year.
The most important thing about the vaccine is that there is not only seems to be a light at the end of the tunnel, there is a light at the end of the tunnel.
Dr. David Lubarsky at UC Davis Health in California, healthcare workers started getting the shots earlier today.
It's our moonshot. I mean, it's our generation's man on the moon. And I think to think of it any other way is to do it a disservice.
That is Dr. Gabriel Bazlet, Health Secretary. Dr. Alex Azar says this will be the largest vaccination effort in U.S. history.
We're launching a very complex nationwide distribution program. Do it right. Do it measured. Get the job done right.
Dr. Azar says the Moderna vaccine could get the green light this week, too. Dr. Monsef Slaoui heads up Operation Warp Speed.
Our plan from day one has been to have a portfolio of products. Pfizer is one of them. Moderna, which likely will be approved by Friday, probably this coming week, is able to produce 100 million doses in the first quarter.
But this shot of optimism comes as the pandemic enters its darkest days, with record hospitalizations across the country and nearly 300,000 deaths.
These people are dying alone. Where is this light at the end of the tunnel? I'd like to see it.
The Trump administration says the light at the end of the tunnel is 100 million Americans being vaccinated by March. Dr. Jeanette Neshwat, medical director at CityMD.
And it truly is the beginning of the end of this pandemic, or at least gives us an ability to control the pandemic, because the vaccine alone is not going to end this pandemic. We need everyone to take their part in helping to mitigate the spread of this virus. It's going to take some time to immunize the entire nation.
A healthcare worker from Long Island, the first person to receive the COVID-19 vaccine in the U.S., happened earlier today. Sandra Lindsay said afterwards she felt great. Electoral college in session. That is the other big story at noon. States across the country officially casting ballots today for president and vice president.
They cheated. They cheated like nobody's cheated before, and they got caught.
President Trump says despite the Electoral College certification today, his fight continues.
It's one thing to say, you know, you ran a great race. Congratulations. I'm okay with that. But they didn't. They didn't run a good race.
States have already certified their results that show a win for Joe Biden. President Trump's legal challenges have been roundly rejected in federal court and at the U.S. Supreme Court. The president says it's a shame because they've proven widespread fraud.
We've proven it, but no judge has had the courage, including the Supreme Court. I am so disappointed in them. No judge, including the Supreme Court of the United States, has had the courage to allow it to be heard.
Mr. Trump says they have over 1,000 affidavits from folks who saw tens of thousands of ballots being illegally cast. Ben Dominic is with the Federalists.
And this is that point in December where the formal things start to happen. And I think the president's options, you know, after this point are really going to be very limited.
Dominic says the president has a valid complaint with the 2020 vote, and Republicans across the country, and particularly in Pennsylvania, have no one to blame but themselves.
What happened in Pennsylvania was bipartisan when it came to mail-in balloting and the like. This was something that Republicans went along with, where in retrospect, they look back and they have to feel pretty foolish to look at the policies that they put in place and what they allowed to happen.
The Electoral College meeting right now to officially certify the 2020 vote for Joe Biden. Biden says after tonight's vote, he'll address the country. And while the race for the White House appears to be over, the election just getting started in Georgia. Early voting began today in the Peach State for next month's runoff elections for the U.S. Senate. Republican incumbent David Perdue.
This race now has become a national race. And so this is everybody in the country, Democrats and Republicans, trying to weigh in here to get the majority in the Senate.
But Democrats say they like their chances of sweeping the January 5th runoff. Former Democratic gubernatorial candidate Stacey Abrams.
We have the level of investment and engagement that it takes to win a runoff. We know from the numbers that we're in a good place.
The results in Georgia will determine which party controls the U.S. Senate next year. The FBI and Department of Homeland Security are investigating a cyber attack at the Departments of Treasury and Commerce. The prime suspect? Russia.
If there is any good news that comes out of this, it's that the government actually detected the hacking and was able to act on it.
That is tech analyst Ian Schur. The Kremlin denies any involvement. Facebook under fire for censoring a painting of Santa kneeling at the side of baby Jesus. The image is blocked with a message stating that it may be inappropriate or hard to watch for some folks. Gay Francis Willard painted it.
I certainly hope that it isn't hard to watch, and I can't imagine what could be deemed violent or unfit for anybody to see.
Willard says this is the second time Facebook has censored her painting. The social media giant blocked the image 2 years ago, too, but then unblocked it after public outcry.
I think that a lot of people have been personally affected by this because they feel that it is kind of an attack on their faith and what they believe and how they live their life.
Facebook says the image was blocked because of a technical issue. Cleveland's baseball team won't be the Indians anymore after years of protests from fans and Native Americans. The ball club now dropping the nickname.
I remember a conversation I had with a team official over the summer. It told me any kind of name change probably could not be in place for 2021 because there's just too much to change around the ballpark and everything.
Cleveland sports reporter Mark Schwab.
But what they could do is just drop the name Indians, don't use it, and do what the Washington football team did, go by the Cleveland Baseball Club.
Cleveland has used the Indians' nickname for 105 years. That all changes starting next year. Still to come this Monday, getting ready for the vaccine. Governor Cuomo accused of abuse and the deadly drive in Pennsylvania.
Well, good afternoon to all. Consider today's light snow and mixed rain in parts of the area the appetizer for the main serving. That'll be a storm midweek that will deliver big snows to parts of our region. I'll be back with the details in 10 minutes.
Okay, Kevin Williams, checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania. Monday, December 14th, horrific accident involving a horse and buggy and a dump truck in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Four people dead, four others injured. State police say that accident took place this morning. No names have been released. Blockbuster midweek storm promises some big snows to parts of our listening area. We're talking a foot of the white stuff in the eastern Twin Tiers and points south. Starts Wednesday night, goes into Thursday morning.
The area that I'm really confident in that's going to get over a foot of snow, like a 12 to 16, is the Harrisburg, York, Reading, Allentown, Hazleton, Scranton. In that zone, you're getting over a foot of snow, and it's going to thump. I just think it's going to snow very hard.
Bernie Rado at the National Weather Service says cities like New York, Philly, and Washington, D.C. could get more snow from this storm than what they got all of last year. A political storm is brewing in Albany. New York's governor in hot water over sexual harassment accusations. Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
A former aide to Governor Cuomo made the claims in a series of tweets Sunday. Lindsay Boylan, who is now running for Manhattan Borough President, said she was grilled about her work and harassed about her looks for years by Cuomo. She says several people witnessed the harassment and didn't do anything about it. The governor's press secretary tells the AP, quote, "There is simply no truth to these claims." The allegations come as Cuomo is reportedly under consideration for the attorney general job in the Biden administration. Brendan Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brendan. It is D-Day in the war on COVID. The first shots in arms taking place this morning. Governor Cuomo watching as a nurse from Long Island was the first to get the vaccine. He says this is just the first step in a long road to recovery.
It's not really going to be over until the summer and we hit critical mass with the vaccination.
The governor saying today the vaccine is the light at the end of a very long tunnel. Local hospitals getting ready for the vaccine.
We've been working together to prepare for this.
Michelle Lewis at the Niagara Falls Memorial Medical Center says they've got a new freezer that's going to store the vaccine in ultra-low temperatures until it's ready to be used.
This vaccine must be kept at least negative 70 degrees Celsius. And in order to work with the shipping container all the way to the freezer, we have to protect ourselves.
Tanya Elkhorn at Pfizer says the vaccine's journey across the country is complicated because it needs to be kept cold during distribution.
The shipper box about the size of like a carry-on suitcase, and then there's dry ice that goes around it, and then it has actually a device within it that has a continuous GPS and temperature monitor. So we will be able to have continuous eyes on every shipper.
Once the vaccine arrives in Niagara Falls, Michelle Lewis says they've got 90 seconds to either replace the dry ice around it or get it into their freezer.
Mentally, it's just trying to work together is the big thing, because we know it's going to be some long hours coming up and very critical points with being able to administer this to the appropriate people and be able to hopefully turn a corner.
Hospitals started getting the COVID-19 vaccine today. Frontline workers and nursing home residents will get the first shots. Fran Shepherdson from Penfield, New York, says she's excited to be able to hug her mom again. She's in a nursing home in nearby Webster. Since March, those two have only been able to visit through a glass window.
So that gives us some hope that possibly in the next couple months, you know, we can maybe actually visit her, see her in person. You know, we don't want her to think that we've abandoned her and we've left her alone. That's what's the hardest, is her thinking that we've abandoned her.
Shepherdson says she's hoping to be able to hug her mom again for the first time in nearly a year. Restaurants seeing red in Pennsylvania, and it's not because Christmas is coming. With less than 2 weeks to go until the holiday, eateries across the Commonwealth struggling to survive after Governor Wolf ordered them to shut down because of the pandemic.
Takeout is one thing, but people want to be together. I mean, that's the thing about dining out, is the experience, not just the food.
Pat McDonald owns a restaurant near Pittsburgh. He fears if he's forced to close his doors till January, he'll never reopen them.
So many of our employees have kids, and we've actually ripped, their busiest time of year away from them.
For the next 3 weeks, restaurants can only offer takeout in Pennsylvania.
We decided not to go delivery only because we lose more in doing that than we are just being closed. So that's our approach, is we're just going to be closed.
McDonald says he was blindsided by the governor's shutdown order last week, which came with very little advance notice for the restaurant industry that's already on the verge of going under. A new Penn State study shows the impact the pandemic is having on seniors. Experts say social isolation is causing mental health problems for those over 65.
Isolation and not being able to experience community activities can also be really detrimental to certain cognitive abilities and overall mental health.
That's Dr. Reagan Chandler. She heads up the Pennsylvania Population Network. Despite a drop in driving because of the pandemic, folks still dying on Pennsylvania roads.
The National Safety Council reports although people now aren't driving as much as they were before the pandemic, the number of highway deaths has surged since the lockdown was lifted. In June, traffic was down 15.5% year over year, but fatalities climbed 14.6% compared with June of 2019, the opposite of what experts expected. That trend has played out every month since. Some safety experts believe drivers in the U.S., including Pennsylvania, have developed poor driving habits and the stress of the moment. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you, Terry. Apparently, water consumption is key to happiness. The experts say folks who drink at least 6 cups a day are happier, more successful, and more energetic. Proper hydration also has a big impact on rest and refreshment. People who drink lots of water, less likely to feel exhausted. Go ahead, pour yourself another one. The Buffalo Bills are for real. Sunny time. 2 minute drill.
Yeah, the game of the night in Orchard Park where the Steelers jumped out to a 7-0 lead, but Taron Johnson's 51-yard interception return for a score just before halftime put the Bills ahead to stay 9-7. Josh Allen said that was the difference maker.
That was huge for us to understand that no matter how bad the first half looked for us, we were still up by 2 points and we were able to play with some confidence coming into the third quarter. Hats off to him and our defense for stepping up the way that they did.
The Bills would go on to win 26-15. Ben Roethlisberger threw 2 touchdowns, but also picked off twice as the Steelers lose their second straight since starting 11-0. Ben, can you turn it around?
I mean, I hope so. If I don't play good enough football, then I need to hang it up. But, you know, I still feel like I can do enough things to help this team win football games, and I'm going to do everything I can to get us back on track.
While Ben may be struggling, Jalen Hurts put on a show, threw for 167 yards and ran for 106 more in his first start for the Eagles as they shocked the Saints 24-21. Jalen said team win.
Playing together, playing as one, bringing energy and creating our own energy, moving with urgency and just going out there and believing in one another. And I'm happy this group got it done today. I'm happy.
Eagles improved to 4-8-1. New Orleans falls to 10-3. The G-Men had their 4-game winning streak snap. Giants crushed by the Cardinals 26-7. Giants head coach Joe Judge.
They outplayed us. We were outcoached. We were outplayed. We have to do more to be successful. We have to have a better week this week. It takes us forward as a team.
The Cards move to 7-6. The Giants fall to 5-8. Russell Wilson threw 4 touchdowns and a pick. The Seahawks destroy the Jets 40-3 in Seattle. The Jets Jets 0-13 after Sam Darnold threw for just 132 yards in the loss.
You know, I need to do a better job of getting the ball out of my hands. And if something's not there, finding my check down.
And a good one tonight for Monday Night Football, an AFC North affair where the 9-3 Cleveland Browns take on the 7-5 Baltimore Ravens. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphier.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Monday edition of the Noon Report, rolling up the sleeves. The largest vaccination effort in U.S. history is underway. The Electoral College is in session. And the $5,000 tip at a Pennsylvania restaurant.
I'm ready to make a prediction about the 2020 election. I know it's a bit late, but I'm comforted by the fact that I won't be more off than the polls were. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Now, for the record, the prediction I'm about to make is not about whether or not President Trump will concede or succeed in his appeal to the Supreme Court, or even about what will happen in the very important Georgia Senate runoffs. Now, this is a prediction that I thought about making months ago, but I just couldn't figure out how to articulate it. I might still stumble through this, in fact, but I am ready to predict that many people are going to regret how they talked about and treated others over the last year or more. Especially Christians will regret how this election has ended deep and important alliances, even friendships. We're going to regret ways in which we question motives or character. We're going to regret placing so much weight on a set of political outcomes that certainly matter, but not nearly as much as it felt like at the time. And it's not just the election. Disagreements over mask mandates, lockdown orders, other aspects of pandemic frustration have broken up families, churches, and friendships. I predict there's going to be a good bit of self-reckoning in the future. Looking back on words we allowed ourselves to say and wonder, was it really worth that? Now, don't get me wrong, all these issues at the center of our fighting recently have mattered greatly. I don't think there are two sides to most of them, at least not two sides that are rational, measured, or moral. There are, however, image bearers on both sides. There are redeemed image bearers, followers of Christ, often on both sides. And in most cases, there are image bearers whom God has ordained for us to do life with, or whom God has long blessed our lives with for years. I've experienced this fracture myself, emails and phone calls from longtime listeners, even friends, demanding I agree with them or else. Now, of course, the how dare yous and shame on yous are always part of this gig, but they've dramatically increased in both volume and frequency, and they've come from surprising corners this past year. This was a crucially important election, no doubt. Chuck Colson often observed that politics is downstream from culture. Now, that's almost always true, but most outside observers would have to admit today
that politics has taken over the lion's share of our culture. And in a sense, that's still a downstream reality. It says a lot about the health and state of our culture because so much of the larger culture has been thinned out over recent decades. Nature might abhor a vacuum, but political forces love it, as other aspects of our culture, especially our pre-political relationships and local institutions, have been thinned out. The noise of political ultimatums rode the tide of big tech right into more and more of our lives. And here's another prediction. We're going to miss and even need many of the relationships that we lost. Christian friendships, as C.S. Lewis describes in his masterful book, The Four Loves, are among God's greatest gifts to his people this side of eternity and even beyond. But of course, a time is coming, and it seems to be coming soon, when Christians who spent the last few years shooting at each other will find themselves once again side by side in cultural foxholes. Many of us use that word reprieve to describe the 2016 election. That was the right word. It was never a fix. And by all accounts, although there may be some additional buffering courtesy of a remade judiciary, that reprieve is over. Will Christians be ready to face these challenges? Even putting those challenges aside for a moment, because a moment might be all we have, the body of Christ predates and will long outlive any election cycle. How are we going to humbly obey Christ's command to encourage one another to love and good works, from thought leaders to family members, when we can't stand each other? Jesus' advice and instruction, even before we appeal to the throne of God for help, is this. First, go and be reconciled to your brother. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stonestreet.
Big storm coming. Let's head outside. Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Here's the call for this afternoon. Cloudy skies, some flurries and sprinkles around, any light snow and rain in eastern Pennsylvania, ending with temperatures holding in the 30s. Turning windy later today and tonight and colder as well. Some lake flurries could deliver an inch or so in snow belt areas. Low temps, 20s for most. And tomorrow, flurries in the lake belts early, then sunshine and cold, mid-20s to low 30s. Wednesday turning cloudy with snow arriving from the south at the end of the day in the 20s. The potential exists for some very heavy snowfall amounts with late Wednesday, Wednesday night across central and eastern Pennsylvania and the eastern southern tier of New York.
Okay, Kevin Williams, if you are just joining us, here's some of the stories we're following for you today. Monday, December 14th, major midweek storm expected to dump over a foot of snow on parts of our listening area.
Could see very heavy snowfall, maybe a foot to 2 feet in parts of the Poconos, the Catskills, and also into parts of New England as well. And even in New York City itself, we could see as much as a foot of snow.
That is forecaster Jeff Berardelli. The largest vaccination effort in U.S. history is underway as hospitals across country began getting the Pfizer vaccine for COVID-19. This woman from Des Moines, Iowa, ready to roll up her sleeves.
I just want to keep people safe and protect myself and my family.
The first boxes of the vaccine rolled out of Pfizer's Michigan plant yesterday.
This is probably the most exciting day of 2020, maybe the most exciting day in the last 20 years. The number of people who are dying every single day is huge, and the vaccine is our way back.
That is Dr. David Lubarsky at UC Davis Health in California. Healthcare workers started getting the shots today. The Trump administration hopes to have most of the nation's nursing home residents vaccinated before Christmas.
We could have every nursing home patient vaccinated in the United States by Christmas. It's really remarkable. 100 million shots in arms by the end of February is very much in scope.
Health Secretary Dr. Alex Azar, the vaccination effort comes as the U.S. death toll from the virus approaches 300,000.
So I've been waiting for this vaccine because I believe this would end this pandemic.
A healthcare worker from Long Island, the first person in the U.S. to get the COVID-19 vaccine, happened earlier today. Sandra Lindsay said afterwards she felt great. The Electoral College meeting right now in all 50 states to cast votes for president and vice president. Joe Biden expected to be declared the winner tonight, but the current commander-in-chief says he is not throwing in the towel yet.
I got more votes than any president in the history of our country. In the history of our country, right? Not even close. 75 million, far more than Obama, far more than anybody. And they say we lost an election. We didn't lose. In a sense, it's a modern-day version of stuffing the ballot.
President Trump telling Fox News over the weekend that if he got 10 million fewer votes than what he got, he still would have won. Hackers broke into the computer networks of the U.S. Treasury and Commerce Departments. It's an attack that's being called large and sophisticated.
The early indications are that the hackers are from Russia, or at least affiliated with Russia, which has conducted a number of high-level hacks against American interests.
Cybersecurity expert Andy Triage, Moscow denying any involvement in that cyber attack. Another sports team dropping a controversial nickname.
Ladies and gentlemen,
that's an announcement you'll no longer be hearing, according to the New York Times. The newspaper reports the team is changing its name after 105 years because it's considered racist. President Trump weighed in on the news, tweeting, "Oh no, what is going on? This is not good news. Cancel culture at work."
That is Wendy Gillette reporting 25 minutes past the hour. You're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life.
And welcome back to another edition of Issues in Education. Mondays during the Noon Report, we spotlight the issues that matter most to our public schooling families with the good Dr. Ralph Kerr at the Teaching and Learning Institute. Another day closer to Christmas, Ralph. I hope you're ready.
There you go. I am almost. Yeah.
Got all that shopping done, and here we go. I keep saying on this program, the one job I would not want to have right now is the job of a school superintendent. That goalpost, when it comes to guidelines for reopening in New York, seems to be constantly changing. If you would explain why that is and how difficult it makes it for our school administrators these days.
Well, it is really difficult, Bob. You know, we had first the yellow and orange and red zone, and then it seemed like once the numbers started going up again, the governor decided to change the parameters within those zones. And every time that happens, it just is more confusing. And it's very difficult because almost on a at least weekly, if not daily basis, the numbers get changed as far as how many infections can be involved, how many people need to be tested. And I guess the best thing to do is for people to just check out the dashboard that each school district is required to have on their website, and that would tell them what the latest on their local district is. That's the best we can do at this point.
Yes, indeed. Hey, well, let's switch states, Ralph, and go to Pennsylvania. Big announcement last week from Governor Wolf when it comes to schools. No high school sports until January 4th. Given the proximity to New York and the fact that there are some sports that are allowed to take place in New York, do you think that crackdown is counterproductive, or is it prudent given the high number of COVID cases in the Commonwealth?
Well, I think it really depends on your point of view. I can see where, you know, realizing that schools within another 10 days or so are going to be shut until after the new year, that one might say, you know, the best thing is just to close down because that gives us a little bit of break in the possibility of infections. The problem with that, though, is that student athletes have been, looking forward to getting going, and both they and their parents are used to, particularly in basketball, of having, Christmas tournaments and that, which has become sort of a tradition within the families that are athletes.
Yeah.
So that's a problem. And then you think, well, what are the athletes going to do over this period of time?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to get together with their friends somewhere and, be interacting with each other. So it's a two-edged sword, really, all the way around.
It really is. And then finally, and we've talked about this before, but I saw a survey, I believe in the Houston Chronicle of all places, that showed four in ten students nationwide, remote learning is not working. Four out of every 10 students. Once this vaccine starts to take effect, Ralph, and this week we're already starting to see the first inoculations, when do you think realistically that schools will get back to normal?
Well, I think in terms of the survey, first of all, I don't know who they surveyed, teachers, students, or parents, but I'm shocked that it would only be 4 out of 10.
Yeah.
What I hear from people that I talk to is it's more like 8 or 9 out of 10 are just not, it's just not working for them. In terms of the vaccine, what I keep hearing is that it's going to take what they call the herd immunity, and that gets up to 75 or 80% of the population being inoculated, and that's going to take a while. My best guess is that we're going to be looking at least September of 2021 before schools begin to take back any kind of normalcy at all.
Yeah. Well, that will have to be the last word this week. And Ralph, this will be the last time we speak in 2020. I know you're like me. Good riddance. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you as far as that goes. But we just want to take this time and just wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Thank you, Ralph.
Thank you, Bob. And certainly I would express a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all our listeners as well, and to you and your family. God bless you.
Thank you.
They Get It Done. Issues in Education comes your way Mondays during the Noon Report.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. A weak disturbance that has brought some light snow and rain to parts of the area today will depart, but in its wake, skies will clear tomorrow and it gets colder. Then we watch the development and tracking of a powerhouse midweek storm that promises big snow to parts of the area later in the week. Here's the call for this afternoon, though. Cloudy skies, some flurries and sprinkles around any light snow and rain in eastern Pennsylvania, ending with temperatures holding in the 30s. Turning windy later today and tonight and colder as well. Some lake flurries could deliver an inch or so in snow belt areas. Low temps, 20s for most. Then tomorrow, flurries in the lake belts early, then sunshine and cold, mid-20s to low 30s. Wednesday, turning cloudy with snow arriving from the south at the end of the day in the 20s. The potential exists for some very heavy snowfall amounts with late Wednesday night across central and eastern Pennsylvania and the eastern southern tier of New York.
A lot to consider there. Thank you, Kevin Williams. Finally, at noontime, a random act of kindness in this era of COVID-19. Over the weekend, and just hours before Pennsylvania restaurants closed for the rest of the year, a waitress from Delaware County got the surprise of a lifetime. A very generous customer left her a $5,000 tip. Gianna D'Angelo says she'll put the money to good use.
I'm just happy with anything. So when they were saying $5,000, I just couldn't even believe it. Like, I still can't believe it. I'm going to put that money away, save it for college, just put it towards something good and pay it forward to other people.
D'Angelo, a freshman at Widener University near Philadelphia, where she's studying nursing, she says she hopes to pay that generosity forward by being the best nurse that she can be. That is the world we live in for your Monday, as always. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.